If polar bears were in Antarctica too, would they be called bipolar bears? Because telescopes work using mirrors, will we ever know if space vampires exist? And why is it when you put Taco Bell hot sauce in ramen, it tastes exactly like poverty? All these questions and more on the Abnormal Matters podcast.
Taco sauce on ramen?
Taco Bell hot sauce.
I've got the fire sauce in the fridge. I bought the
tastes exactly like poverty.
I love the fact that you open up the thing of ramen or you look at the package and it says, why don't you add like chicken? Try adding like chicken or like add beef or add, you know, lobster. It's like, it's 10 cents for the fucking ramen. If I could afford the chicken, right. I would have bought the fucking chicken. I
wouldn't
have
been eating the fucking ramen.
Right. Eating the ramen. It's like, just give me my salty water and noodles. Let me be.
We eat a ton of ramen at my house. Kids love it.
I love ramen.
Episode 21. Moving along. This episode is about the coronavirus and all of its conspiracies, and we're going to dig into a lot of those, but we do have a special guest coming on. We are going to be interviewing one of our friends that we worked with, me and Mark, and she moved on, got her big girl job in the nursing, and now she is a traveling nurse and has been dealing with the coronavirus at the forefront, so it's going to be really good to get her input on what she thinks about this, but... before all that, of course, we want to do our science news of the week. And Mr. Austin, you had it this week, right?
Yes, sir. All right, for science news of the week, I picked the Galactic Federation. A former Israeli space security chief recently told an Israeli newspaper that the U.S., Israel, and the aliens in most recent years have been working together in the Galactic Federation. This recently came out shortly after the first stimulus payment that came out to everybody. The Israeli space security chief said that the identified flying objects have been asked not to be shown to humanity because we supposedly weren't ready for it. Parts of the interview were published by an English newspaper and by the Jerusalem Post back in December of 2020, according to the NBC News.
Our feeble minds just can't handle it.
They're just saying we couldn't handle it. The U.S. and Israeli have been working together for quite some time, and supposedly we have bases on Mars. They're saying that Donald Trump also knows about this deal.
Well, I think it's going to be great.
That was made between the Israelis and the aliens.
It's not just big, it's you.
It's kind of weird that Donald Trump would be in cahoots with aliens.
And then he almost revealed it, too.
Illegal aliens, right?
I remember reading about this earlier.
We're going to build a wall. Wall of asteroids.
It's the biggest asteroid wall ever. It's going to be huge.
It's going to be great.
But the Federation wouldn't allow Trump to speak on this, or about the aliens, or the treaty that we've got with Israel, saying that it would cause mass hysteria. They've been waiting until the most recent days to reveal everything that's been going on. The White House Department of Defense and Israeli officers did not respond to NBC's request or for comments when they were asked about it. Trump has led out on bringing the country back into space, creating the Space Force branch of the military for offense and defense in the stars.
We all took an oath to defend the Constitution, not a political party. We are all Americans here, even Chan and Van den Flank.
I'm an EU citizen.
Canadian.
Indian immigrant on a green card.
Sri Lankan with an O-1 work visa.
We don't have time for this!
It kind of makes sense, though, why he would want to go with
Space
Force.
Why he wanted Space Force all of a sudden.
Right.
It's just funny that the symbol they created for Space Force looks a lot like the Star Trek Federation emblem.
Oh, does it?
Yeah.
I haven't seen it.
They look almost identical.
Huh.
I had a little side note on that, too, though. I thought this was really interesting because this was just under that article. It said that, and it was just called UFO Report. It said, unclassified report on UFOs must be released in 180 days thanks to the COVID relief and spending bill. When President Trump signed the $2.3 trillion coronavirus relief and the government funding bill into law in December, so began a 180-day countdown for U.S. intelligence agencies to tell Congress what they know about all UFOs.
Hmm.
So every sighting that they can't explain or every sighting that's been documented, they have to release everything that they know about it. Hmm. Public information.
I mean, they kind of did that with Project Blue Book back in the day, but all Project Blue Book, and they did like 12,000 investigations, I think, over 12,000. And of course, all of them were inconclusive or debunked.
Well, that's like, too, if they have to divulge everything within 180 days, they just won't tell you what they know.
Yeah.
They just lie. Yeah, we don't know shit.
Yeah. Weather balloons. It's all weather balloons.
Mm-hmm.
There's no little green men anywhere.
It's just, yeah, all weather balloons.
All
just a reflection of, what is it, what do they say, the reflection of the Aurora Borealis off of, like, weather balloons or, like, aircraft and stuff like that, and that's why you see the lights in the sky.
Try saying that shit in Iowa. There's nothing there.
No. True.
Yeah, Iowa, Kansas, yeah, Central America is just...
Doesn't make any sense.
Why? I just don't understand why they would say that we would basically implode in our heads if we knew that there was intelligent life actually having communication with us.
I'd be psyched.
Well, yeah. I've heard the thing too where people are like, well, hell, we can't even not fight amongst each other. And what's going to happen when we find out aliens are out there, you know, the rednecks are going to rise up and try to start taking crackpot shots at them.
I told you, Cletus. They're real.
Shoot that green booger.
But, all right. Is that all you had on the science news? Quick and easy?
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, let's get into coronavirus. I've got a lot of my notes on the actual timeline of some fucked up shit with coronavirus and a lot of the conspiracies. I don't know what you guys kind of dove into.
I really just got what it is, symptoms, long-term effects, how it's spread, how to avoid, some thoughts. I got a couple of buddies that have caught it themselves and just some effects like months later down the road that I got some friends that are still heavily affected by it.
Yeah. Would you kind of go?
I've got pretty much general knowledge on everything to do with it. Okay. And the live counter of deaths and cases worldwide and broken down even by country. So, and then one of the big things that hits home for me is, of course, pre-existing conditions and people that how they're affected with it, especially since I have polycystic kidney disease. So it's how it'll affect you, what it can do to your kidneys and whatnot.
Yeah. Well, do we want to? How you want to kick it off? You want to talk about like what is coronavirus?
Yeah.
Like you were saying, yeah. Go for it.
So COVID-19. Just going to start with some general knowledge for those of you who have been living under a rock that don't really know about it, or to those who don't really care about it.
How could you not know about it?
Right.
So could you not be on a small island in Papua New Guinea or something like that not to know about this?
Why are they wearing masks?
So the coronavirus is a severe acute respiratory disease like SARS. It started in... It was first identified in Wuhan, China in December of 2019. A lot of the symptoms include fever, cough, fatigue, difficulty breathing, loss of smell, loss of taste, and it's just fucking crazy. It's like one in five infected individuals really don't develop symptoms. So either you're sick as hell and you know you have it, or you feel fine.
And you're just a carrier.
Yeah. Kind of reminded me of typhoid was something that was really bad back in the day, and it was a lot of the same things. Like you were sick as hell dying, or you were a carrier of it.
So symptomatic and asymptomatic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the weird thing is of course, the virus is thought to be natural, of course, and have animal origin. through like a spillover infection. There are a lot of cases or like a lot of theories about what, you know, patient zero is, who actually first caught it. The first known infection was, like you said, in Wuhan. And a study of the 41 cases of confirmed COVID-19 published in January 2020 said the earliest onset was probably like December 1st, somewhere around there. And most of it was like human-to-human transmission. But the according to a lot of Chinese sources, they most likely link the Hunan seafood wholesale market, which sold live animals, as a place where it might have started. But when they collected samples from over there, they couldn't find anything left over. So it looks like that wasn't actually where it started. But they even found traces of the virus in wastewater in Milan and Turin, Italy, on December 18th.
Well, from that market, there was a 61-year-old man exposed to the virus at the seafood market back in December.
Mm-hmm.
And then he died January 9th after respiratory failure caused by severe pneumonia. And with China, their reports are so fucked up. You look at the timeline and they're like, you know, we've got an outbreak. And then like 3 months later, like, yeah, we tested 900 million people and we're good. No more outbreaks. We're good.
Yeah. They also weren't saying that they had COVID there. They were treating pneumonia of unknown causes.
Yeah.
And when they were going through, the people that actually, like the doctors and stuff that started seeing this and actually became whistleblowers and saying, hey, look, this is happening, they were punished and like reprimanded by the government and by authorities and federal people over there to say, no, let's quit trying to do fear mongering, stop it, quit talking about it. And made it worse.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, by February, they accused the U.S. government for inappropriately reacting to shutting everything down coming from China. Because
mm-hmm.
they put on travel restrictions and all that, and China was like, whoa, it's not that bad. You know, what are you jumping to conclusions for, you know? And no, we were like, no, shut that shit down. Nobody's coming over from China.
It's not that bad.
Yeah. Just a little cough.
Well, yeah, they said that.
Basically, I mean,
a lot of the problem too was the fact that they were kind of trying to sweep this under the rug, it seemed like. And then, of course, the Chinese New Year migration, it spread like hundreds of times faster.
Yeah, I was looking here. We go. In February, Wuhan government owes Dr. Li Weilang an apology, and we want freedom of speech trend on China's Twitter-like platform before disappearing from the heavily censored platform. They took all that shit down. After, like, people were revolting, saying we want our freedom of speech to talk about this, China just shut down all social media over there. Like, you were not allowed to talk about this.
What?
Yeah.
Jesus. We talk about oppression.
Mm-hmm.
That's the worst thing about it, too, is the fact that, you know, It's not the Chinese people that are causing this. Right? It was their government.
Yeah.
So it was the actual Chinese government. As, what do you want to call them? Like a totalitarian or almost like a dictator state.
But it pretty much is a dictator state. Yeah.
I mean, they control everything. They're just like, yeah, shut it down. So everyone shut up. They'll talk about this. And it just got worse and worse and worse. I'm wondering, you know, if it would have broken out somewhere else, like in Europe or something like that, how much better off we probably would have been.
How much faster we would have been able to try to contain it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
This is just a side note. I haven't eaten Chinese food since COVID-19 came out.
No?
Not at all.
Why?
I don't know, man. Chinese food? No, I'm not.
Chinese food's awesome.
I know, it is.
Is it a fear factor or is it boycotting?
Okay, well, Chinese food's already,
which would make no sense because Chinese food in America is not Chinese food.
It's already a little sketchy. All right. I'm not saying it's not good. I love lao mein. It's my shit. But I don't know, man. There's just something. So like, oh, let's get Chinese. I'm like, I don't know. Like, no, I'm cool.
So you're boy guy.
I mean, I guess.
I love General Tso's.
Taking a stand here and now.
I love General Tso's chicken. Oh, man.
I'm not knocking it. I'm just saying.
General Tso?
Sal.
Yeah, and a W on the end of that?
It's pronounced Sal. Like the like a female pig, like Sal.
T-S-O, so?
Yep, it's pronounced Sal. Hmm.
Might just be the pick in you there. Yo, Sal!
No, it's Sal. I researched it. It was like, it was designed, it was like invented by some guy in like San Francisco or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
It's not even Chinese.
Yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, we kind of get into, you know, the outbreak starts. It starts hitting the U.S. And then in late February, the CDC officials say that a California patient is being treated for it. So it hits landmark of the U.S. late February. But then officials announce, we don't really hear a lot of other news about what other countries are doing. This was a crazy tidbit that I saw here. March 3rd, officials announced that Iran will temporarily release 54,000 people from prison to contain the world's deadliest coronavirus outbreak outside China. So they just let loose thousands of prisoners.
Fabulous.
Yeah.
That'll do it.
Roam around in the Middle East, yeah.
Yeah, but how many of those prisoners were political prisoners, though, too?
They were playing music too loud.
Not a threat, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, they wore green socks. Wore green socks on a Wednesday, so yeah, you're going to prison.
Yeah. Italy, the prime minister, in beginning of March, he signed a decree placing travel restrictions on the entire Lombardy region and 14 other provinces, restricting the movement of more than 10 million people in the northern part of the country. And Italy, and if you remember right, Italy was hit the worst.
Yeah, and literally locked down hardcore.
Yeah. Yeah.
To where if you were caught on the streets in Italy with and you knowingly had coronavirus, it was considered, I believe, attempted murder, and you were arrested on the spot and went straight to prison.
Damn.
Because, I mean, they didn't mess around. They just went, screw this shit.
Well, after March 8th, and he did that 10 million people lockdown,
mm-hmm.
the very next day, Conte announces that the whole country of Italy is on lockdown.
Yep.
And you look at the reason why Italy got hit so hard is you just have to look at the demographics. Age-wise, Italy is old. I mean, it's a lot of old people, like 60 and up. That's the major part of their population, and that's why their death toll went skyrocketing, was because that's what coronavirus is
I didn't know that about Italy.
Attacking most, yeah. Yeah, their demographics are they're older.
They're like the Florida of Europe.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, yeah. It's a peninsula.
Yeah,
same thing like Florida, right? Oh, it is.
Go there and retire.
Damn. The one thing, HWO, that committee, I don't remember what it stands for. Anybody see the HWO?
No, I only see WHO.
Sorry, WHO.
Health Organization.
World Health Organization. Thank you. The World Health Organization declared on March 11th that the novel coronavirus outbreak to be a pandemic. So after they've had all this stretching across, finally in March, like mid-March, they're like, okay, it's a pandemic, where we could have been trying to tackle this a lot earlier. And Trump announced that he was restricting travel from Europe to the United States at that point. That's when all of the national lockdowns started going on where people couldn't travel. And then this was a fucked up thing. March 19th, and I was talking about China.
Mm-hmm.
At a news conference, officials from China's National Health Commission reported no new locally transmitted coronavirus cases for the first time since the pandemic began. So in 3 months, no, we don't have anything.
Yeah.
We don't know what you're talking about. What pandemic?
And then June 11th, all of a sudden they have them again.
Yeah.
In Beijing, it started showing up where they had 19 cases show up.
By April 2nd, globally, the total number of coronavirus cases surpassed 1 million. So within 4 months, 1 million people affected. China reopened April 8th. And there was another big date, April the 21st, because they were trying to dismiss, or not even dismiss, but they were just trying to cover up a little bit. And especially, and not only with China, but United States, they weren't reporting a lot of these cases. And finally, in April 21st, California Santa Clara County announced autopsy results that showed two Californians died of the novel coronavirus in early and mid-February, up to 3 weeks before previously known first U.S. deaths were from the virus itself. So, not only was China trying to cover up a little bit, the U.S. is trying to cover up a little bit, they're trying to keep it under wraps because they don't want the panic.
Yeah. It's strange to think, too, that the way they were also reporting stuff was, if you went to the hospital and say you had cardiac arrest and you end up dying in the hospital from a heart attack or you had a stroke or something like that, and they tested your blood and found out that you did have coronavirus, even if it wasn't the causing factor of your death or you had just got it all of a sudden when you went to the hospital or something like that, they still marked it down as
a coronavirus death.
I was just about to say that.
Which, how many of those weren't actually caused by coronavirus?
Right.
But we'll never know.
Right.
The way the testing was done.
And I looked into a lot of the CDC. The CDC didn't come out. It came out with this report on their page, and you guys can see it on there.
Nice.
Thanks. The CDC came out with this report. And it was talking about all the coronavirus deaths. And they were compiling all their data, blah, blah, blah. Well, in asterisks, right, after all like the data is coming out of deaths and people getting it, the deaths at the point when I looked at it, and it was probably midsummer, was around 100,000 or 109,000 or something like that at that point, right? Well, then it had an asterisk, and you look at the asterisk in very fine print, right? Way at the bottom. It says that these numbers are due to pre-existing conditions and that 96% of them were due to pre-existing conditions. So the true number of that 109,000 is only 4% that were truly dying from the coronavirus. Mm-hmm. The others were like because of diabetes or heart attack or stroke or, you know, like that's what they truly died from. But they had coronavirus when they died. So then that's when, like you're saying, they tallied it in there. So at that point in the summer, for me, I was like, they're kind of fluffing their numbers.
Hard fluff.
I think a lot of people thought that too. And I think that's why a lot of the movements where people were saying this isn't real and, you know, there's no reason for the lockdowns and you're just destroying our economy and all that. I think that's why all the sentiments came up. That's because people were just weren't informed well enough by the government and by the agencies.
Yeah, absolutely.
And now here we are in 2021 and we all know, yeah, this is definitely a real thing. And anybody out there that thinks it isn't, yeah, I guess they should be putting on their tinfoil hats too because there's something wrong with those people.
Yeah.
I mean, not to piss off any of our listeners that don't believe it, but hey.
Let's just put them in a room with a whole bunch of people that have coronavirus at the hospital if they don't believe in it.
Yeah. Because what?
It's not a bad point, actually.
As of today.
You don't think? Oh, go step in there for a few hours. See if you come out without no coronavirus.
As of today, there are 95,964,755 coronavirus cases worldwide.
And it keeps going.
Reported. Deaths from that is 2,048,150. And then, of course, 68,531,000 have recovered. So, I mean, those are huge numbers.
Yeah.
And then.
And it could have been worse.
Yeah. And if you break it down by countries, like the United States, we're at 24.6 million
cases. Well, and over the summer, like I was talking about, June 11th, we hit 2 million.
Yeah.
So within, what did you say?
Right now, we're at 24 million, 24.6 million.
So within 7 months, we jumped.
12 times as many.
Right.
And then total deaths as of right now, 408,000 in the U.S., just the United States. And behind us is India with 10.5 million cases. And then you start going down. The numbers start going down.
Like how's crazy. Mother Russia doing?
Russia, 3.5 million.
Because I saw in here with the timeline that I got, August 11th, Putin announced that Russia had approved a coronavirus vaccine for public use before completion of phase 3 trials, which usually precedes approvals. He's like, let's just keep going, you know?
With vodka.
Yeah.
How do you guys feel about the vaccines, though? Like honestly.
I think Russia's vaccine, the name of it is phenomenal. They called it the Sputnik V.
That's sick. If anything's going to cure you, it's going to be that one.
The Sputnik V, yeah. They moved on in Russia, and they had a good safety profile, I guess, for their side of their vaccine.
Coronavirus?
Yeah, and had good antibody responses in all participants. So
nice.
Yeah.
I can't help but think some of them are kind of bullshit. Like, I was listening to somebody I work with talk about it, saying how he got it, but that they're giving the vaccine to some people and, like, a placebo shot to other people.
Sugar pill, yeah.
Like, what's the point in that? Like, why don't they just give it to everybody?
Well, they do that in trials to have a control.
And also, yeah, so they can see if people are having side effects or not from it.
People are dying from it, so.
But that's why they do a placebo. Like, if they're trying a new experimental drug, they'll get everybody in there and tell them that they're taking this drug, but they'll give two of them a sugar shot, and that's their control.
They might as well just play Russian roulette with people.
Yeah. That's what they're doing at that point with the trial.
Well, yeah, you got to do that stuff too. That way you get real results and
get the data.
You get the real data, because otherwise, you know, if you tell somebody that they were given it and they start giving false symptoms or, you know, reactions, that kind of stuff, you know it's fake because all they got was a sugar shot.
Or they really got it because they got a sugar shot and they didn't get the real one.
Or the mind has been known to heal itself, to heal the body. Like, they think that they're getting a shot, and mentally the mind has actually healed the body because they thought that they were getting an antidote. Have you ever heard about that?
No. Is there anything for that for mental health? Because that would be great.
I mean, I can give you a sugar shot.
I don't know if I want your sugar shot.
You sure?
It's not Wednesday, Ian. It's the Wednesday show. I told you.
I just think it's interesting going through these numbers, though, on how many total cases are in what different countries. And it's just odd that we are...
You got a full breakdown over here.
Oh, yeah. If you go... Was it like the UK's got 3.4 million, France 2.9, Turkey 2.3, Italy 2.3 million. I mean, not right there.
Is that deaths or infections?
That is just total cases.
Total cases.
Mm-hmm. And you look at that number, and that number right there, we got more than all those countries combined.
Yeah. Well, we got a lot more people than France and Italy and that.
Well, Italy's had, it's strange when you look at it, like Turkey. Turkey's got 2.3 million, the same as Italy.
Yeah, but how many giblets does Turkey have?
Turkey had 24,000 deaths. Italy's had 82,000, so like you were saying, because of the age population.
Yeah.
It's amazing how the numbers just swing like crazy.
You're talking about drug makers and shit. Johnson & Johnson, back in October, they announced that they had paused the advance of all of their clinical trials. Because when they were doing the vaccines that they were coming up with, there were quote unquote unexplained illnesses in a few of the volunteers. Yeah. And following their guidelines, the participant's illness was being reviewed and evaluated, and they just shut everything down. They stopped trying to come up with a vaccine. They're like, nope, sorry.
You guys are on your own.
Yep.
Jesus.
But yeah, It's some scary shit. I can't wait to talk to Zoe about this. I mean, she's, like I said, she's been on the forefront. Let's get into some of the conspiracies. Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
A little more enthusiasm, guys.
All right.
I'd love to start with the mask thing.
Let's do it.
So, with the government mandating masks is really just kind of a, you know, I think you and I have talked, Mark, I know you and I have talked a little bit about this as well, just how the government mandating masks is, you know, and all the coronavirus stuff is just really, in a, well, I know we kind of talked about it on our last episode with the Agenda 21 stuff. Mm-hmm. It's like just a test run to see how much can we control jumping from the base of COVID-19. So let's start with, okay, everybody stay at home. Everybody wear masks. Right. Now let's, you know, nobody can be out past 10 p.m. And I think, let's say the numbers rise again, I think they're just going to try to push more and more and more as far as restrictions, what we can and can't do.
But what the fucked up thing is none of these, it's a mandate, not a law.
Mm-hmm.
It's a mandate. So everybody sheepishly goes along with it and they don't ask questions. And that's the scary part of it. Because whatever they say, okay, I'm just going to go along and not question anything. You know, it comes down to kind of like you're saying with Agenda 21. How much control can they really take? And I think that this is a good cold run, a practice run for them on how much can they take? And Not how much they can take. How much we're willing to give up.
I agree with you.
And the fact that masks actually do work is besides the point. I mean, yeah, it's still the control part of it that a lot of people are angry about and where the conspiracy theories arise from that. And that's the worst thing about it, is that the actual masks actually do work. I mean, that little bit of protection is going to help slow down the spread.
But it's the same thing with the vaccine, though. Okay, yeah. So everybody's going to have to take a vaccine. Everybody's going to have this fucking app that says, yeah, I got the fucking vaccine, and here's my barcode for it. But the vaccine isn't going to stop you from getting coronavirus. It's just going to nullify some of the effects of the actual virus. You can still get it after you get the vaccine. It's just not going to be that, you know, in case you are symptomatic or not asymptomatic. But if you're symptomatic about it and you have trouble breathing and have to get a respirator, it's going to kind of dull those onsets of it. But you're still vulnerable to it.
You'll still get infected. You just, vaccine may stop you from getting horrible reactions. And actually, you would basically just be a carrier.
Mm-hmm.
You can still spread it to people. But you're vaccinated, so you're not going to get the actual disease.
Unless it mutates drastically.
Which, by the way, there is a new strand that came out of Columbus, and they're calling it the Columbus strand.
Oh, fabulous.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, we got one. There's one new strand that came out of New York. There's a new one that just came out of UK. There's a new one that just came out of
South America.
South America, South Africa.
Yeah. And I heard the African one is the worst, the new strand.
I didn't see which ones were worse or not on it, but...
I mean, talk more about, like, with more respiratory.
Mm.
It's more localizing inside the lungs versus, like, anything else that they've seen of the strands. This one is, like, very horrific, I guess, coming out of Africa.
Bees, spiders, COVID... Everything that comes out of Africa just is way worse for people.
How about the conspiracy that COVID-19 was made in a lab?
I've also heard that a couple times, and honestly, like a biological warfare type of deal. I've heard that quite a bit, actually, to where China was developing something and it just leaked out or got out accidentally. And
well, where it is in... where it took place, in Wuhan. There, right there in Wuhan, there is a Institute for Virology.
Oh. Interesting. So,
yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, they have a lab of virology in Wuhan.
Seems a little fishy to me.
That's why it's a conspiracy.
Yeah, the strange thing with that, though, too, is like every single... major university in the world, or in the United States at least, that has like a medical facility, like like here we have Ohio State University and Ohio State Medical Center. Ohio mm-hmm. State Medical Center is like on the forefront of like cancer research and that kind of stuff. But all those parts of the universities, those medical parts of the universities, they all have infectious disease labs.
Yeah.
Every single one of them.
Mm-hmm.
So every single state in the United States has at least, let's just say, just off the top of my head, just randomly, I'm going to say there's, say, five major medical universities in each state. Just to
throw it out there.
Just for shits and giggles.
Yeah.
So that means we've got 250 infectious disease labs all over the country. Just in universities.
And then one major CDC.
Yeah. And I mean, I've been in the one at OSU Medical Center because, you know, we do a lot of contracting work over there. But you walk in and they make you glove up. They make you bunny suit up. You're anything you touch, you know, you got to make sure you got your gloves on. And before you're allowed to leave the room, you got to take everything off before you can even walk out and then wash your hands and that kind of stuff. Because they don't know what someone touched and then, you know, touching a keyboard or touching, you know, computer mouse on the head, you can transfer it out. So it's pretty wicked when you're walking in those kind of places. But they always tell us, you know, there's nothing really going on right now. When you guys are scheduled to come in here, like we kind of have everything under wraps.
Yeah, right. Once I get out of there, I'd be like Ace Ventura getting in the fucking shower crying and shit.
Just injecting bleach directly into the bloodstream.
Taking shots of Lysol in the car.
I mean, what do you think about it? Plausible?
Plausible, absolutely.
Oh, yeah, I mean, anything's plausible as far as that goes. You don't know what governments are doing with that kind of stuff.
Yeah. And I hate to try to say that about China, but, I mean, especially with them, with their numbers and that kind of stuff, how they skew everything, and it just... For me, it puts a lot of distrust with China. And when I hear a conspiracy theory about that, it's pretty plausible to me. You know, like they're doing this on purpose. Population control.
I agree with that.
Well, that's when I start getting fears too that, you know, people take it out on Chinese immigrants or something like that in this country.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, that could definitely show some,
because I mean,
some racism and that kind of stuff towards Chinese racist, people. And
yeah, just because you just happen to be Chinese,
right?
I mean, but that's the nature of us, unfortunately. I mean, look at World War II with Japanese. I mean, we started putting people in internment camps and stuff like that because they were Japanese. Or after 9/11, all the Muslim people Muslim people have lived in the United States and been here for decades, were born here, parents born here, so they're being persecuted just because a couple bad apples on the other side of the world caused an issue, and everyone's got to go, you know, ape shit about it. It's sad and it's scary sometimes. I can't imagine what people of Chinese descent were thinking when this all came out, and especially with Trump, you know, saying, you know, how bad it was because China started this, China did this, and calling it the what was it, the Kung Flu?
The Kung Flu.
That was my favorite one.
And how scared those people were when that all came out, thinking, oh, crap, you know, I don't know who's going to be knocking on my door or, you know, persecute me because I just happen to be of Chinese descent.
Right.
All right. I agree with that for sure. It's scary, but it kind of seems like the chips are down, just how quick people turn against each other just because you're of a different race or a different nationality.
And you wonder why the damn aliens don't want to be talked about.
Yeah, right.
That's right. Yeah. COVID comes from 5G. That was another conspiracy.
Oh, yeah.
plausible?
All AT&T's towers are giving people COVID.
I don't know about that one.
Not fucking plausible.
No. I'll kind of give you a little background of it. A lie connecting 5G high-speed wireless technology to COVID-19 symptoms started spreading across Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram not long after the pandemic struck. By early April, the United Kingdom, people started protesting and setting fire to 5G towers.
Whoa. That's a little radical there.
There's no evidence that 5G is dangerous to human health, and the technology works on higher frequency millimeter wavelengths that do not appear to penetrate human skin. They're saying that it that a virus could be spread through technology, right, through frequencies.
Come on. Come on, really?
That's one of the conspiracies. I
mean, that's unreal.
How much 5G do you think there is in Rwanda right now? I mean, how much do you think's in, let's see here, Togo, Benin, let's see, I'm trying to find some countries that are really, really small here.
Madagascar.
Bhutan, Barbados, Papua New Guinea.
What was the name of that one? Togo?
Togo? Togo. It's literally Togo. T-O-G-O.
I would love to open a restaurant there and call it Togo. Hi, right, thanks for calling Togo. Is this going to be for here or Togo?
Well, it's just Togo. It's funny that they have, they've only had 4,300 cases. Good. But if they're small. These are micronations.
How many people are in that country?
Oh, I don't know.
Maybe as many as there are. Hell,
the Vatican City, they've had 27 cases.
Well, that per capita, that'd be like the
800 people.
That's Jesus there. Right there. That's protection by the Lord.
But I mean, half these places, Micronesia, Samoa, they're getting 5G eventually.
Eventually.
It's not. A lot of these poor, poor countries, there's no way. So, I mean, they don't even have that, so how did it spread if it's caused by 5G?
One of the other big... right. I'm telling you, I'm going to open up a restaurant named Togo and Togo. Bill Gates. Bill Gates is at one of the top conspiracies for the virus. So most conspiracy theories, like the viruses they resemble, constantly mutate and have several variants circulating at one time. Many of these plots and subplots seem to involve Bill Gates, who became a new target of disinformation after gently criticizing defunding of the World Health Organization. According to the New York Times, anti-vaxxers, members of QAnon, and right-wing pundits have seized on a video in 2015 of a TED Talk given by Gates, where he discussed the Ebola outbreak and warned of a new pandemic in 2015. He warned that there's another pandemic coming. To bolster their claims, he had foreknowledge that COVID pandemic, or even he even purposely caused it. That's a conspiracy theory.
So he flew to Wuhan, China, and released the disease there?
I don't know. I mean, he has, again, we were talking about Agenda 21 with Bill Gates. He is all about population control. Mm-hmm. And he's always talking.
Allegedly.
In Agenda 21. And he is at the forefront of, no, he's come out and talked about population control. That we need to get it under wraps. He's come out and said that. Like, we are way overpopulating the carrying capacities of the Earth, which is true.
Yeah, and he also puts out so much money in the other things like clean water and that kind of stuff in countries, and he spends billions trying to help out some poorer countries and stuff like that too, though. But
tax deductions.
It's here or there.
Huge tax deductions.
Mm-hmm. And influence in that country.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a Soros. George Soros. He's been blackballed by so many fucking countries just because he stirs up so much shit.
No, we're talking about Bezos who's doing that, allegedly, too.
From Amazon?
No, yeah. Like, he's been kicked out of countries or some shit like Soros. That. Soros. Yeah. Oh, was it Soros?
Yeah, okay. George Soros. I digress. Yeah, he's been kicked out of countries just because he's been stirring up shit. Like there's a and this is just a side note, but it's a conspiracy theory about Soros funding all these people from Guatemala and that kind of stuff coming up to the U.S. border. He's been just pumping money into these smaller countries to try to get a rivalry up in between the Democrats and the Republicans about our border at the bottom. From Mexico.
You know, I thought the funniest thing about the wall, the bar, like, people can literally just, like, fit straight through it. You can literally walk through this fucking thing. It's unreal.
Let alone that most of the travel happens on sea or in air. Or, fuck it, they're just going to build a tunnel.
They just dig underneath it.
Right.
I think it's more of a likely explanation is that people, they're just going to fucking dig right underneath it.
I don't think it really had that much left on Gates. I don't know. It was just one of those conspiracy theories that I wanted to go after.
That 5G was a fucking trip, man.
Oh, that's great, isn't it?
It's unreal.
I mean, at that point, if you're worried about emissions from a 5G transmitter, then you need to worry about your microwave, your TV, anything that's going to be emitting anything.
A cell phone.
Yeah, your cell phone. Shit, yeah.
I mean, what's going to be next? The airplanes flying over us and the chemtrails? Are they dropping coronavirus with that, too?
Hey, chemtrails are true, man.
Weather control.
Well, weather control is a real thing.
No, yes, it's with chemtrails.
That'd be a good one.
That's a good episode. Yeah.
Well, Mercedes-Benz in Germany, where they manufacture the cars, the area that they're at, they get hailstorms a lot of times, and it damages the cars. So what they've done is they send planes up and they seed the clouds so that they drop their, you know, the precipitation, all that stuff before it gets to where they're parking all these Mercedes.
Huh.
And it's a real thing.
Seriously?
Yeah. And it's kind of funny that you're like,
you load the clouds so it gets heavy to drop everything.
Yeah. So it doesn't damage the cars. It's like, I just built a fucking garage.
Right.
just put a huge carport over everything. Yeah. Really?
Right.
But apparently it's cheaper to fly the planes up there and see the clouds than it is to build a carport to house the tens of thousands of cars they manufacture.
Fucking pop-up tent from Walmart's $10. What the fuck? Zip tie them some bitches together. There you go.
Kind of tying into that first one, the virus escaped from a Chinese lab. That was another one of those conspiracy theories going down the rabbit hole of...
That could be more plausible, I would say.
I think that would be more plausible.
Especially the 5G.
Yeah. Right. The Chinese city of Wuhan also hosts the Virology Institute, where researchers have been studying bat coronaviruses for a long time. One of these researchers, a prominent virologist who spent years collecting bat dung... samples in caves, it was a lead expert on the earlier SARS outbreak, was sufficiently concerned about the prospect that she spent days frantically checking lab records to see if anything had gone wrong. She admits breathing a sigh of relief when genetic sequencing showed that the new SARS-CoV-2 coronavirus did not match any of these viruses sampled and studied in the Wuhan Institute of Virology. So, she's saying that, no, nothing escaped, but this is telling you right now, yeah, they had guano that they were testing in the virology center for SARS and the transfer of viruses. So, something could go. I say plausible.
I say it's plausible.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
And it just got to be a stepping point for the disease. I mean, the disease didn't. We didn't have any human infections until, November, December. So, I mean, and that's where it seems to have started from. I mean, come on.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's very plausible.
Absolutely. I just hear Ace Ventura in my head, sorry, from Ace Ventura 2. And he's like, it's lovely pottery. What's it made out of? He's like, guano. He's like, guano. That sounds so familiar. It's bat droppings.
Well, the other thing too that's been seen is some domestic cats have been tested positive for it. Dogs, lions, and tigers.
How is that affecting other livestock besides us? Yes, I call this livestock.
Well, there was a sheep version of coronavirus in sheep.
But was it like killing them, or were they just getting a little sick and moving on?
That I don't know, but I know it was in sheep. Because I remember when this all came out, they were talking about, well, they actually have drugs out there that they give to the domestic livestock for a version of like coronavirus or COVID.
Mm-hmm.
But whether or not it's the same as what we're all getting infected with, you know, it doesn't say. but there was actually medications out there for that.
Hmm.
But yeah, what there's tigers and the lions at the Bronx Zoo also tested positive. And I've seen where they talk about, yeah, the dogs and cats can get it. So you got to be careful if, you know, someone in your household has it, don't let them pet your dog or, you know, play with your cat. They might pass it on to you.
Yeah, I thought that was something on the news originally that they had spoke on stating that animal like dogs and cats can't get it. And then later on, as it's started to get worse and worse within...
And it mutates.
Yeah. Now it's starting to affect animals.
Yeah, in August 2020, dozens of domestic cats and dogs have tested positive, according to the CDC.
That's fucking wild.
I would think first and foremost, we would start trying to test cows and pigs, because that's the closest, like, anatomy-wise to us, you know what I mean, with mammals, on land mammals and stuff, to see if they start getting it. They probably got it, too. Fucking cows and pigs.
I know they said it's something to do with, what is it, laminoid antibodies is what they call it. This, whatever this is, I don't know what a laminoid is, but because I'm not a doctor. But
it's a flux capacitor.
It's what it is research using alpacas and llamas in Peru. they produce a treatment for COVID-19. So... I guess laminoid must mean South American camel-like animals.
Hmm.
So they produce a very small type of antibody known as a nanobody. And apparently, I guess the llamas and alpacas aren't getting coronavirus.
Sending the assistant out to go get the collection, like, go on out. I'm just getting, like, spit on all day.
Just wearing a rubber suit all day.
Just getting spit in the face by llamas. What a job.
Right?
Here's your sample.
That's probably the most degrading job ever. Just to get spit on all day. Literally spat on.
And not even by a human, by an animal.
Yeah, right? That knocks you down the food chain a little.
There's another one that COVID was created as a biological weapon. And the spicier variant is that COVID not only escaped from a lab, but it was intentionally created by Chinese scientists as a biowarfare weapon. According to Pew Research, nearly 3 in 10 Americans believe that COVID-19 was made in a lab. So 30% here. We're shooting 30% that believe that this shit was made biologically in a lab. And either intentionally or accidentally, it was developed... the former is more popular. Specifically, 23% believe it was developed intentionally, with only 6% believing that it was an accident.
I think it could swing either way on that. I mean, I definitely see it. I mean, biological warfare is a huge...
It's a rapid spreading... I mean, if you were going to create a virus, how would you create it to destroy the world?
I would say that if you were creating it as a weapon, it would be a lot more deadly than it really is. Because, I mean, we're only talking about 2% kill ratio if it was a weapon.
But we're looking also at spreadability.
Yes.
And mutation. And that's what I would go for if I was a mad scientist. Not just the fatality side of it.
Well, that's when you go with something like Ebola, which is so much more deadly. And transfers like crazy, too.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that I could see being a weapon, but I can't see COVID-19 being a weapon. If it was designed as a weapon, someone screwed up and didn't make it deadly enough, as far as weapons go.
Yeah. I agree.
Yeah, I think, though, too, when you're at war, you put a whole country in a state of fatigue. And fatigue's a war as it is. You know what I mean? Make, get everybody a little more sick or a little slower.
You could say the same theory about fucking Spanish flu, though, too.
Yeah.
I mean, was it created because it was at the end of World War II? World War One. Sorry. The beginning and middle phase of World War One. That's when it started really hitting.
But we didn't really know much about viruses and
oh, we were that calling, kind of stuff back then. Yeah, we were calling bacteria aminoids still.
So, I mean, it's not like we actually developed this stuff very well.
Right. I don't think it's very plausible.
I don't think it's plausible. Because I just think that, yeah, you would have made it a little more deadly. And then on that fact, too, is if you're going to make a weapon, weaponize something like that, you would have a antidote. You'd have a something to cure.
Right. I mean, come in as a savior.
I mean, just like anthrax. A lot of people don't know that with anthrax.
Not that anthrax.
I think it's, if I'm not mistaken, that you get ciprofloxacin that you get for urinary tract and kidney infections, I'm pretty sure is the antidote to anthrax also.
Huh. I didn't know.
I'm pretty sure that's, I mean, I might be misspeaking on what medicine actually does that, but I'm pretty sure that's what I was told.
What about that whole thing with the chloral, whatever that they were trying to come out with? Like, they're saying if you take this, it...
Chloroquine?
Yes, thank you. Do you got anything on that?
Those are anti-malaria drugs.
Okay.
So you got hydroxychloroquine and chloroquine. But they showed that it was ineffective at best, and that it may reduce the activity.
The symptoms. And
yeah, but it doesn't really do anything. It's actually it's banned from use in France, Italy, and Belgium as a treatment. So instead, they're using this drug, remdesivir.
Does it have, like, the side effects at the end of the commercial? Oily discharge.
Bleeding eyes.
abdominal stabbing.
Poor gas mileage. And, yeah.
You take one thing, get rid of one fucking problem, and you gain four.
Yeah.
How's your headaches? It's great. Besides the fucking explosive diarrhea. And the stabbing pains in my abdomen.
What is it, that Jeff Foxworthy joke where he talks about itchy, watery eyes, you know, so you take this drug and he goes through all the symptoms and all that. And he's like, hell, that's the, you know, I'm just having itchy, watery eyes, man. It's weird, this other crap.
Yeah.
Was it anal leakage?
Yeah. The last one that I had on some conspiracy theories was COVID-19 doesn't actually exist.
I definitely believe it exists.
Oh, I'm for sure it exists.
Yeah.
Just gonna throw that out there. I think it's real.
However,
I think I might agree with you on that.
There are those people out there.
Doctor.
There are those people out there that is a plot by the globalist elite to take away our freedoms. Early weaker versions of this theory were prevalent on the political right, and the notion that the novel coronavirus would be no worse than the flu, and later versions are now influencing anti-lockdown protests across several states in the U.S.
Are you quoting Alec Jones by any chance?
Yes.
Are you really?
Yeah.
Fucking Alex Jones.
Yeah, I know. But
I love the guy. But
they could directly help to spread the epidemic further in the localities and increase the resulting death rate, according to Alex Jones.
Anytime I hear globalist elitist or anything like that.
Oh, it's Alex Jones.
Alex Jones. Yeah. In his foil hat.
Yeah. David Icke.
Oh, my God. Don't even get me started on David Icke. That's a whole other fucking episode right there.
What is it that, what does David Icke do? I forget what it's called.
The reptilian stuff.
No. InfoWars.
Yeah, Alex Jones is InfoWars, too.
Is he?
Yeah, Alex Jones is the main guy, but David Icke's been on there. Fuck, man. He's had so many people on there. That website is crazy, by the way.
Yeah, that's a little too kooky for me. I can't go down that conspiracy rabbit hole.
It is great to listen to if you've done extracurricular activities.
Those are the type of people that we need to put into a room with a whole bunch of patients that have coronavirus in the hospital.
David Icke.
Like, hey, you don't believe in it? Okay. It's just like when you were a kid and parents gave you chicken pox. Like, here you go. You'll play with these guys for a little bit.
The chicken pox party, yeah.
Never had chicken pox.
Yeah.
Never had it?
No. Well, no, because they had the vaccine at that point.
Never had it.
There's a vaccine for it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Never knew that.
Yeah.
You have to get it.
Yeah, my kids at, I think it's the 3-year-old shot or 1-year-old shot. the one-year-old shot. They get the chickenpox vaccine.
I did not know that. That's one of those things, like one of those diseases that, you know, it's always just been like herd immunity. You know, you just, your parents have made you play with kids that had it.
Yeah. And
you got it.
We had chickenpox parties.
Yeah, I think I was 7.
One kid got chickenpox in the neighborhood.
Everyone else
that didn't have chickenpox yet went to go play over that kid's house.
That's probably the best day of that kid's life, too. Everybody came over. Yeah, I'm a little itchy and I feel like shit, but all my friends are here.
Give me a hug.
Yeah, Rick. Come here.
I got it bad when I got it. I had it all down my back and everything, and to the point where, like, when the blisters burst, like, I had horrible scarring down my back where it was like leopard print on my back.
Oh, yeah, the kids don't. Kids these days, at least his generation and on, don't have any chickenpox scars.
I just want to preface, I'm closer to 30 than I am to 18. I take a little offense being called a child. I'm a grown man, sir.
I said your generation and children moving forward.
All I heard was this guy and children.
Listen here,
children,
Junior.
Moving forward after
junior.
Your generation.
Listen here, Junior.
Come on. I got a child of my own.
Hey, fucking grown.
Don't interrupt Pappy, all right? Don't interrupt him.
Hey, Scooter.
Yeah. I'm sitting at the kids' table.
Respect your elder, Scooter.
I finally get to sit at the big kids' table. I'm getting ridiculed for it. Fuck.
Well, I mean, it's one of those diseases that when you get it later in life, though, it puts you down.
See, that's what I've heard.
Even before our generation, right? Not your generation, but our generation, but the generation before, like our parents, all of them have a scar right here on their arm.
Really?
Yeah. And it's from a tetanus shot from back in the day. And it would leave a bad half moon or a circular scar on their arm when they got a tetanus shot. Yeah. Yeah.
Fuck that. That does not sound fun.
Well, no vaccination's ever fun.
No.
I mean, the military was very interesting the way they vaccinated you, because you stood in a line with everybody else that was coming in to reception before you were sent off to basic training. And the one guy at the lead of the line had a red card in his hand, and they fired up this little air gun and just used high pressure air to shoot the droplet into your skin.
What? Like so, Star Trek shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it was like a little air gun kind of thing. Like,
that's fucking crazy.
And you just lined up and you walked down the line. As you walked down the line, they just hit your arms like doo, doo, doo. And when that guy got through, he went to the back of the line. When he came back to the front, they changed the drug, put a new one in, and boom, 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 boom. So you went like 2 or 3 runs of getting things, you know, like, I think it was stuff for like tetanus and malaria.
Hepatitis
and, you know, communicable diseases, that kind of stuff.
Probably still felt like shit.
From my memory, it wasn't that bad because there was no needle.
That's
you really, wild, you literally man. Didn't. It's just like they're just injecting you like crazy,
pumping you full of drugs.
I think the I think what was worse was when you walked into the where you got your physical and all that to see if you were able to be in the military. You had to do where you stood straight up and you had to fall down onto your knees on the concrete. And it was to see if you had any knee problems, that kind of stuff. I mean, it was brutal.
Yeah.
You had to do a duck walk and that kind of stuff. And then all of a sudden you got into this little room with a old doctor, and he always had sausage fingers. And put that glove on, and there's a big bottle of lube, and he's like, all right, grab your ankles. It's like, oh, shit. And you're just hoping, and he look at you and go, man, you're fine. Like, oh, thank God. And then you walk out, and then you hear that the next guy would go in, and all of a sudden you hear, oh, Jesus. It's like, yep, he wasn't fine. He wasn't
good. Spread your cheeks, lift your sack.
That's a bummer, man.
That's all I have. What else you guys got?
Some accounts. I got a handful of friends. I'm not going to call them out by name. I don't want to air them out like that on the radio waves. But I've got a handful of friends that really didn't believe it. They didn't think it was that big of a deal or whatever the case was. I got a friend that I went to high school with. Shit, it's been 3 or 4 months since he contracted COVID. And still to this day, can't smell anything. And he can't taste.
Still
anything.
Still can't smell anything
after 4 months.
Damn,
all of his symptoms are gone, and he's like, "Man, it sucks." I'm like, dude, you'll never taste steak ever again. He's like, "Bro, why'd you even say that?"
Mm.
So, but he's super bummed about it. Like I said, it feels fine.
Everything else, no cough, no nothing. Can't smell anything, can't taste anything. Like, he's like, I take straight shots of alcohol. And he's like, nothing.
Hmm. That'd be kind of cool, though.
That would be kind of cool. It's also really sad, but it would be kind of cool.
Yeah. No, a lot of your taste is from your smell.
No, you're right.
You put a orange up to your nose, and you could eat an onion, and it tastes like orange.
For real?
Yeah. That's how much involved your sense of smell is with your taste.
I'm just thinking about, like, never tasting chocolate milk ever again. Just put me down. I don't want it.
The yoo-hoos.
Oh, man, don't even get me started. David, I can yoo-hoos my weaknesses.
Haven't had it in 30 years.
A yoo-hoo? I got you. The next episode, I will treat you to a yoo-hoo, my friend.
Well, that would be stupid because I'm allergic to chocolate.
It's not chocolate.
Oh, it's not? Mm. Has it got cocoa in it?
No. I don't think so.
I don't know.
It's got cocoa in it. I can't touch it.
I don't know.
Chocolate Soldier is another version of yoo-hoo, and it's way better. You can't really find them anywhere, but chocolate soldiers are the shit.
Chocolate and seafood, my two banes to my existence. Yeah. I can't have.
I'd be bummed too. I love seafood.
He used to always crack me up when he was cooking and someone would throw shrimp in the fucking microwave or something like that. He'd be like, God damn it!
Yep.
He'd fucking walk away. And he's like, what are you doing? He's microwaving fucking shrimp and it's going to get in the air and I'm going to get exposed.
Bastard. You don't put fish in a microwave. I don't know. What idiot?
You got a name? You want to call this person out?
No.
Let's air this person.
And anybody that's ever worked in a business or, you know, a corporate office or anything like that knows that one asshole that puts catfish in the fucking microwave at work or something and stinks up the whole place.
Oh, he'd work great at Crapplebee's.
Oh, yeah.
Crapplebee's.
They're microwavers. They're not cookers. They're not cooks. They're fucking microwavers.
Everything's microwaved.
Everything's frozen.
Yeah.
I wonder how many people we just ruined Applebee's for right at this very moment.
Crapplebee's sucks. Everything is fucking microwaved, people.
Allegedly.
Not allegedly. I worked there when I was fucking 19, and their style has not changed. You know what they got? They have no oven. There is no oven in their kitchens.
That's insane.
No oven. Nothing. They have a grill to where they put the steaks and shit. They have a flat top where they do their quesadillas and stuff. And they have the fryers. And then you turn around on the other side of the line, and there is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 fucking microwaves.
Jesus
up Christ. Top. And when a pasta comes in, step 1, grab Cambro. Step 2, put pasta in. Step 3, add Alfredo. Put in microwave for 2 minutes. The other step is to take the shrimp that they already have prepackaged, add seasoning to whatever that is, if it's a normal or Cajun, and throw it in the other microwave for fucking a minute and a half. Combine. Serve.
Yeah. Ding. High quality food.
That's Crapplebee's for you.
I'll never eat at Applebee's ever again after you told me that. You told me that like a year ago. Never. I won't ever again. There's another place too we were talking about. I was doing that too.
I even asked one of, because you know all the restaurants and everything all kind of blend together and you know people in other spots. And
yeah.
There's a guy currently right now at the Applebee's right down here on the corner. And I knew him from a previous job and he's working there now and he's a manager. And I was like, so they still microwaving shit? And he's like, oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We've got, when a microwave goes down, we still have microwaves on backup to be able to put them up on the line and carry on.
That's insane.
Yeah.
Fuck.
One of the things I looked into was, of course, being someone with pre-existing conditions was, of course, how this affects like kidney patients and that kind of stuff, too. It's about 1 in 3 people who are admitted to the hospital for COVID-19 will develop acute kidney injury. So, even if you don't have pre-existing.
It attacks the kidneys.
Yeah, a sudden decline in kidney function, even if they've never had kidney disease before. The rate of injury increases to more than half for those who become critically ill and need intensive care. In most cases, these patients will require emergency dialysis.
Oh, shit, really?
Which is horrible. Anybody who knows anything about kidney disease, I mean, once you go on dialysis, there's a chance that it's going to destroy your kidneys.
And it's a death sentence.
It's a 7-year death sentence once you get once you go on dialysis. I mean, they got it. It's brutal what they do to you for dialysis. But one of the reasons why coronavirus is so contagious is that the spikes and the virus and how it attaches to host cells. Well, those like sticky spikes on there, they have a strong bond with a receptor called ACE2, which is abundant throughout the body, including the kidneys. And one of the other problems with kidneys, of course, blood clotting, because coronavirus causes blood clotting. So, of course, the kidneys remove waste from your body. Biopsies done on COVID-19 patients have shown that these tiny blood clots have like clogged up the kidneys and start ruining some of their functionality. Mm-hmm. And the other problem with it, too, is extreme inflammation. So your body's, you know, trying to protect itself, and all of a sudden everything's getting inflamed, and that causes huge, huge amounts of damage to kidneys.
Absolutely. Well, and the kidneys are your filter for mm-hmm. your body. I mean, they're taking all the bad shit.
So there's a lot of nephrologists now that are looking into the functionality, you know, kidney functions with people that have chronic kidney disease or people that have never had it and all of a sudden are getting these problems because of coronavirus. So, I mean, there's a chance you get this, that, yeah, you're going to have kidney problems the rest of your life, which is brutal. But, I mean, what some of the main causes, like, I think it's like hypertension is like the number one cause of like a horrible reaction with COVID-19. I'm trying to look through it here. I know I had it. What was it? According to data in the United States, 89% of people hospitalized had pre-existing conditions. So hypertension was 66% of deaths. Type 2 diabetes, 29.8%. Heart disease, 27.6%. Atrial fibrillation, 23.1%. And chronic renal failure, which is kidney disease, was 20.2% of the deaths. So, I mean, there's so many side effects that we just don't even know about yet. I've heard somewhere that if you've had coronavirus, I don't know if this is still true or not, but they were talking like you wouldn't be able to join the military because of what it can do to long-term lung function, brain function. Some people have even, they said that their like personalities have changed a little bit after coronavirus, or they've also had psychological issues.
Like some PTSD stuff?
Yeah. Which, that, from getting it, you know, I didn't think that would be possible. I mean, I can wholeheartedly, I can't wait till she's on the phone. How much PTSD a lot of these nurses and doctors on the front lines are going to have.
Oh, for sure.
Because, I mean, you're meeting somebody in the hospital. I mean, and of course it goes with the territory that, you know, you work in a hospital, you're going to see people die.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that you'll meet somebody, start working on them, 3 days later, they're dead. It's got to be brutal. You've got to mess with your head.
Yeah. Well, going back to the pandemic stuff that we were talking about, and that one thing where the Spanish flu, if you started turning blue in the hospital, they were putting a toe tag on you when you were still alive.
Yeah.
Because they knew you were going to die in a few hours.
That's fucking morbid.
Well, the other thing they had was a cause of like death too was something called a cytokine storm. I'm probably butchering that. And it's
they had that with the Spanish flu.
Yeah, it's a later stage of severe COVID-19. It's potentially deadly immune reaction where a large amount of pro-inflammatory cytokines and chemokines are released too quickly in it. Causes multiple organ failure.
Yeah.
So it's your own body trying to fight it off and boom, kills you.
Your immune system goes hyperactive.
Yeah, and your own immune system ends up killing you.
Yeah. Crazy shit. Got anything else?
Really? I really just wanted to say, like, whether you believe in the control of the government or the whether or not COVID is deadly or not, I mean, we all got to do our part. We got to wear masks.
Agreed.
We got to protect the people that are hypersensitive to this. And like Mark was saying earlier, it is true that wearing a mask, it it does, that little bit of protection, it does help. You know what I mean? And not just from COVID, it could, the common cold, influenza, like.
Even if it's cold out.
Yeah.
It's nice to have a mask on.
It really is. I feel way warmer, even like, even after all this is over, I'm probably still going to wear a mask, especially in the fucking wintertime. But we got to do our part, guys. We got to keep, when we feel like our government is already lying to us and not taking care of us, we got to take care of each other.
Well said.
That's really all I got on that one. And I appreciate everybody for listening. It means a lot to us.
It came from a fucking lab. No, I'm joking. I think that this is a natural occurrence. As we've seen in a lot of history, we fucking get viruses. Because shit mutates, because we have antibiotics and that kind of stuff. And like you're saying, we just got to look out for each other, man. It's something that is going to be a marathon, not a sprint. And, you know, you think that the year changing, the virus doesn't fucking care that the year changed. You know, it's going to continue on. And until we get that herd immunity or a very good, because I'm not taking the fucking shot yet, until I see good statistical data on it, if we get that better vaccine that's going to help us, kudos to them for coming up with that within 6 months, you know. But yeah, it's all about taking care of each other. And if you're infected, fucking stay home.
Yeah.
I mean, just drop out of society for 2 weeks, please.
I mean, it's, yeah, the fact that you want to go see friends or family or something like that, is, I mean, it's just stupid. Stay home. That way you can see them rather than, you know, just seeing them this one time or, you know, for like this next week or something like that. You might compromise them to where you never get to see them again.
Yeah.
And just taking a little bit of self-sacrifice and not, you know, just staying put for a couple weeks or something like that till you know you're fine. That way you can continue seeing your loved ones and friends and family.
Agreed.
But I guess Britain is now, what, on their third lockdown?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they locked down again.
And we've only had one.
Yeah.
And we're 10 times more, have more cases than they do. I mean, yeah, we're a bigger country, but still, come on.
If you look at the per capita, yeah. But, all right, folks. Well, we're going to wrap it up. It was, again, a pleasure. You guys need to reach out to us. I'm going to leave the phone number. You guys can text and let us know on the actual podcast title itself. And you can always reach us on Facebook, the Abnormal Matters Podcast, and also at our email, theabnormalmatterspodcast@gmail.com. But for now, we are going to sign off. We'll see you in a couple weeks. We appreciate you listening, all the people that have been listening and the newcomers that are listening. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Take it easy, guys. Be safe.
Wear your mask.
Folks, this is going to end part one of the coronavirus. We're going to have a part two coming out here in a couple days. And that is the interview with Zoe. And she is a traveling nurse across the U.S. that is facing a lot of this coronavirus outbreak and seeing it face to face. And I'm telling you, you really need to listen to what she has to say. So, again, thanks for listening. And check out Zoe on part two of the coronavirus.